If you believe that God wants you well, but you feel like you've got to be worthy to be able to receive that healing, then you need today's teaching. I'm going to be sharing with you on Charis Daily Bible Study how to receive by faith in what God has already done. Hello and welcome to another Charis Daily Bible Study. I'm Andrew Womack, and you know, all of this month, all of the different teachers that we've had on our Charis Daily Bible Study have been teaching on the subject of healing. And so I'm going to continue that again today. And I really want to encourage you that if you haven't watched every single program, which I know our schedule sometimes doesn't allow that, but if you would go back to our archives and look at all of these. We've got different instructors from our Charis Bible College here, and we're all teaching on healing from just a little different perspective, sharing how God has revealed things to us, the healings that we've experienced. And if you would go back through there and look at that, I guarantee you it's going to be really, really hard for you to stay sick. You know, there's a scripture in Psalms 107:20. It says He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And God's Word will bring healing to you. In Proverbs chapter 4, I think it's around verse 20 or 22, it says that God's Word is health unto all of your flesh and life to those that find them. And so the Word of God will literally bring healing to you. And so we are devoting every single program, 7 days a week, teaching on the subject of healing. And I tell you, this is going to make a huge difference in your life. I'll be offering my book here about God Wants You Well as a gift to you at the end of our program. We'll be giving out more information. But we really want you well, and the most important thing is God wants you well. You know, the last time I taught on this, I was sharing how that it's God's will to heal every single person. To me, that is the number one issue that hinders people. They think that somehow or another they're a unique situation. They don't doubt that God healed others. You know, I give testimonies about my son being raised from the dead. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs, blind eyes open, deaf ears open. And there's people that'll say, well, I believe that that happens and it's great that it happened for you and the people that you prayed for, but they just aren't sure it will happen for them. So you've got to be absolutely convinced it's God's will to heal you. If you waver on that any way at all, then that'll stop your healing from coming to pass. But then beyond just believing that it's God's will to heal you, the second most, the most damaging belief system that hinders that healing from coming to pass is thinking that somehow or another you've got to be worthy in order to deserve this. I've had people come up to me in prayer lines. I'll have people come forward, and if they need prayer, they will stand there, and I'll go down the line. And I've had, I don't know, thousands of people tell me, I can't understand why God hadn't healed me. I fasted, I pray, I study the Word, I go to church, I pay my tithes. I've done this, 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 and this. How come God hasn't healed me? Did you know when a person says something like that, you may not realize it, but you've told me why God hadn't healed you because you aren't pointing to what Jesus did for you, but you're pointing to what you are doing for Jesus and thinking that somehow or another you have to be worthy. You have to live up to it. You have to do all of these things to earn. And so what you're doing, your faith is in yourself and in what you've been doing, not in Jesus. Now, some of you may be thinking, but you know, I do have to do all of these things. It's true that we have to cooperate with God. But there is a huge difference between us responding to what God has already done in faith and then thinking that faith is what makes God respond to us. You know, let me use this passage of Scripture out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." And the next verse goes on to say, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." That scripture right there, it's really significant what it says. If you were to back up into the fifth verse of that second chapter of Ephesians, the very last phrase in that verse, it's a parenthetical phrase, and it says, "For by grace are ye saved." So it's not totally wrong to say that you're saved by grace, but technically it's wrong to say that you're saved by grace alone. Let me say it this way, that you're saved by grace alone. Because Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith. It's a combination of grace and faith. And so let me just spend a little bit of time explaining this, that grace is what God does for us. If you look the word grace up in the Strong's Concordance, defining what the Greek word means, it literally means unconditional, undeserved love or favor from God. It's something that you don't deserve. And when you compare this with John chapter 1, where it says that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, that was 2,000 years ago that God showered grace upon us through what Jesus did through His sacrifice. And so grace is unearned, undeserved favor, and it was done before you and I existed. There's many scriptures, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23 says, "Who His own self bare our sins and His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It says you were healed, not that you're going to be healed. You were healed by God's grace. By grace, God put all of His wrath upon Jesus for your sins and my sins, and He also took our sicknesses and diseases in His body, and by His stripes we were healed. So that's grace. It's something that is done for us, independent of us. We don't deserve it. It was done before you and I even existed. So how can you think that somehow or another you have to earn grace? See, there's some people that think that faith is what we do to earn God's grace. But no, faith is just a response to what God has already done by grace. Well, that's a profound statement. And I know that this goes right over the head of most people. It took me probably 20 years of seeking the Lord. And I was seeing some things happen. You know, an old blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while if he doesn't quit. Amen. And I mean, I was just seeking God so much. I was praying for anything that would move, that every once in a while I would see a blind eye open. I would see some things happen. But it was just because I was pressing in so hard and stuff, but I was misunderstanding. I thought that faith is what moved God. God moved by grace 2,000 years ago. I mean, before you and I existed, before we ever had a problem, before we had ever done anything good or bad, God, by grace, took your sickness into His own body and bore it. And so by grace, you have already been healed. But faith is not something we do to move God. God moved by grace independent of us before we existed, before our need ever came to being. But faith is just how we reach out and appropriate something. And somebody might think, well, what's the difference? You're saved by grace through faith. You got to have faith. So what does it matter about whether it's a response to God or whether your faith is something you do to get a response from God? Because the moment you start believing that faith is something I do to move God, then you have just made yourself like a link in the chain. You know, you've heard this saying before that a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. If you make yourself a link in the chain, and God is going to be dependent upon you having to do certain things, well, then the moment you do that, that chain is going to be broken, because you are always going to be the weak link in the chain. Satan is always going to have something to accuse you over. You're never going to do everything perfectly. You know, when I first started writing books, we've now put out, I don't even know, but it's over 50 books like this, and probably another 50 or 60 little pamphlets, and then living commentary and on and on. When I first started writing, I wanted everything to be perfect, and I would just go over it and over and over. And it took me forever to write my very first book. Matter of fact, the very first book was entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, exactly what I'm talking about right here. But when I first started trying to make that first book, it just took forever. I was agonizing over it because I wanted it to be perfect. I wanted to say everything that I had ever known, everything that God had ever taught me about it, and it just was impossible to do. And finally, I had to come to a place that, you know what? I've never ministered perfectly yet. Every time I've ever listened to a teaching that I've done, and I listen to it, I think, man, I could have said this. I could have added that verse to it. I could have done this. This story would have fit there. I've never done anything perfectly yet. God's never had anybody perfect working for Him yet. None of us ever do anything perfectly. And the moment you get to thinking that you've got to do everything just right, dot every I, cross every T, and the moment you start thinking that way, Satan has got you. Because I can guarantee you, you have not and you never will be perfect in anything. You could always do something better. And the moment you start putting all of the responsibility, the weight and responsibility for healing upon your own shoulders, you won't be able to bear that. You've got to recognize that God heals you because He is love and because of what Jesus has done for you, not because of your great goodness. Now, does that mean that you can just do nothing and, well, whatever God's will come to pass automatically? No, faith is involved. But here's the way that I define faith. It took me 20 years to get to where I could say this. And it may just go right over your head, but if you could open up your heart and let the Holy Spirit reveal this to you, this is one of the most important things that the Lord ever showed me, that faith is not something I do to gain a positive response from God, but faith is simply my positive response to what God has already done. Or another way of saying it is, faith only appropriates what God has already provided. It's already provided. It's already done. You know, when I'm in a live service and I'm ministering, I'll often take my Bible and I'll go hand it to somebody on the front row. And I'll say, here, this is my Bible. And so they've got that Bible in their hands. And then I'll say, now, what would you think if that person who's holding my Bible in their hands said, Andrew, please give me your Bible. Could I please borrow your Bible? How do you respond to a person who's already got what they are asking to get? It'd be hard to know how to respond to that. Probably you just get a silence, similar to what most people experience when they're talking to God, because they're asking God to heal them. Oh, God, please heal me. And they're just waiting on God to do something when the Bible clearly says that by His stripes you were healed. It's already been done. You know, if God could be confused, which He can't, but if He could, I believe He would be confused over the way that we pray. I could just see God the Father looking at Jesus and saying, didn't you tell them that by your stripes they were already healed? And yet, why are they asking me to heal them? The truth is, see, God has already done His part. Faith does not move God. God is not the one who is stuck. God is not the one who is just waiting on you to do these certain things, and when you get enough things, that equals a healing. No, God's not looking at things that way. God, by grace, independent of you, independent of what you deserve, He has already provided healing and place that healing on the inside of you. You aren't waiting on God to heal you. God is waiting on you to just trust, rest in what He's doing. And with most people, faith isn't a rest to them. Faith is something that is hard. Man, they're trying to force themselves. They're trying to say just the right things. They're trying to get all of these things straightened out. Really, faith is just a response to what you believe that God has already done. So if I had given you this Bible, you know, the proper response would be just to say thank you. And you've already got it. I've got another teaching entitled, You've Already Got It, that builds on this out of Ephesians chapter 1, where in the prayer in the verses 16 through the end of the chapter of Ephesians chapter 1 is praying that they would just get a revelation of what they've already got. He's not praying that they'd get anything new, but their eyes would be enlightened, that they would be able to see the hope of His calling and what they have in Christ. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, is what it says there in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. God's already done it, and you just need to rest in it. So you have to start by saying, Father, I believe that it is your will to heal every single person, every single one of us. I'm a person, so it's your will to heal me. And then you just go to resting. You put faith in what God has already done. And you know, there's a lot of people that honestly have misunderstood. They've heard teaching that faith is powerful. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And they've heard these statements, and so they believe that faith works. But they are putting faith in what they are doing instead of what God has already done. And I tell you, you just have to get to a place to where you rest in the Lord. You know, I had an instance with my oldest son where when he was just 1 year old, he was running, and this was in Christmas time. I remember specifically when it happened, and he was running around the house and he tripped and fell, and there was a coffee table that had a corner like this, and he hit right there above his ear on the corner of that coffee table, and that thing swelled up. He got a knot there and it started bleeding. And so Jamie and I prayed over it, and in a week or so, something like that, the knot went down and it was okay. But did you know on the next Christmas, on the exact same day in December, that knot came back? And this happened 12 years in a row on the exact same day every December. I can't understand how that could be just organic or something physical, that it would come back on the same day every year. And when Jamie and I saw that, man, I would start praying. I'd even go to fasting and rebuking and interceding and doing all kinds of things. But as we grew in our faith, I remember he was about 12 years old and we were doing a devotion with him. And right before we went to bed, I looked and saw that that knot was coming back on that exact same day in December. And when I saw it, instead of rebuking it, instead of doing something, trying to make things happen, I just looked over at Jamie and I said, the devil is so dumb. He's not giving up. But I said, we know that he's healed. And we didn't even pray over it. We didn't do anything. We didn't rebuke it. We didn't fast. We just rested in the fact that, Father, we've already believed and we know that you've already done it, and we forgot it. And did you know that that was the end of it? I'm telling you that sometimes the things that we call faith are actually an expression of our unbelief about what God has already done. I remember one time casting a demon out of a person. This was at one of our Caris opening rallies, and we were at a church. This is back before we had our own facility, and we were using a church, using their facilities, and there was a guy that came up, and I was praying for him, and I had my hands on him like this, and I had my eyes closed, and apparently it was a good thing because Jamie told me later that this guy, he was demon-possessed, and I knew he was demon-possessed. I was rebuking these demons out of him. And Jamie told me later that this guy was trying to hit me, and he would swing like that, and he would stop, and he couldn't hit me, and he was doing all this stuff. And I just rebuked the devil. And when these demons manifested themselves, the woman that was in the prayer line too, all of a sudden, man, she started going, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And she, I mean, just like a machine gun, she was reciting the Lord's Prayer. And I actually told her, I said, stop it. Because that wasn't faith. It was totally motivated out of fear. And she thought that somehow or another by reciting a prayer that was never meant to be recited, it's more of a model prayer than it is a prayer that you're supposed to recite. And she thought that somehow or another she was doing something that, see, would make the power of God release. But she was speaking it totally out of fear. You can do things that have faith trappings that look like faith, and yet it actually be an expression of your unbelief. You know, there was an instance I read about a man named Smith Wigglesworth, and he was a powerful minister, saw people raised from the dead, lots of healings, cast demons out of people. And one night he was going to bed. This is back in the early 1900s over in England, and he had a candle, and he was going to bed, and right before he blew his candle out, he saw motion at the end of the bed. And so he held the candle up like this and looked, and there was a demon standing at the end of the bed. Now, how would you respond? Boy, most of us immediately would have this thought of fear and some people might panic, but even if you're kind of a faith person, you would sit there and start rebuking and doing all this. You know what Smith did? He just said, "Oh, it's only you," and blew the candle out and went to bed. Now, that's a person that knows their authority. That's really a person that has faith. This is not to say that you don't ever sit there and rebuke something, or that you don't sit there and say, "Father, I receive my healing," and that you just try and ignore it. That's not what I'm talking about. But you can't depend upon your faith. Your faith should be nothing but a positive response to what God has already done, not something you do to gain a positive response. Boy, that is huge. Again, that took me so many years to figure that out. If you could just receive it, if the Holy Spirit would open up your heart, and if you understood that faith is just resting in what God has already provided, it takes all of the pressure off of you. I don't have to earn God's power. I don't have to be holy enough. You know, I remember one time that we had just made an appeal on television for finances to construct our auditorium that now has been completed, and it was done debt-free. But I went on television and made an appeal, and I spent 3 days on television, and it just wasn't good. I was embarrassed. I didn't want to be coming across like I was asking people for money, and so I hadn't been authoritative and bold with it. Anyway, it just wasn't right. I saw all three of those programs, and I just knew it wasn't going to produce. And I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I've let fear get the best of me. I didn't minister the way I should." And I said, "But you knew I was a mess when you called me, and you called me anyway." And I said, "I did the very best I could. I prayed about it." And I said, "You're just going to have to use me the way I am. I'm not perfect, and I don't do everything right." And I had no sooner gotten those words out of my mouth than the phone rang. And another minister, I won't mention his name right now, but a minister I'd never talked to before, a very well-known minister, called me, and he had just seen those programs, and he started prophesying to me for about 45 minutes that God was going to meet my needs, and that, "Don't worry about it. You're going to get it all done, and it'll be done debt-free." And then at the end, he says, "Not only was I praying that God would give you the money to be able to build this building, but I believe that God is going to bless you with a bright red Cadillac Escalade." And then he says, "I've got a Cadillac Escalade, brand new. I'm going to have somebody drive it down and give it to you today." And anyway, the point I'm making is, see, I didn't do it all perfectly. But I just was putting faith in God that, "God, even though I'm imperfect and even though I haven't done everything right, I believe in your grace. I believe in your mercy." You know, it says over in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that God counted Paul faithful and put him into the ministry. And that was at a time that Paul was murdering Christians. Paul wasn't faithful at the time that God called him. He was unfaithful, and yet God saw him faithful. Faith is the ability to see something in the future that maybe you can't see right now. And God put faith in Paul. God put faith in me to call me into the ministry. You know, if I was God, I'm not sure I would have chosen me. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I've never done anything perfectly in my life. And yet God has put faith in me. And God has put faith in you. And the point I'm trying to get across is that you need to make sure that your faith is in God's grace, and that all faith is to you is just a positive response to what God has already provided. You're just using faith to reach over into the spiritual realm and receive what God has already provided by grace. And if you could get that attitude and get to where you are putting faith in what He has done, there is a rest in that. This is what Hebrews chapter 4 is talking about, I believe, down in verse 9 or verse 11, where it says, "There remaineth a rest to the people of God." And those that have really entered into God's rest have ceased from their own works, as He did from His on the Sabbath day. You just get to a place to where you don't feel the pressure. You are just leaning on Jesus and on what He's done, and not in yourself. And then your confession, the fact that you're saying, "By His stripes I'm healed," is not something you're saying to twist His arm and to make God do something, but it's something that you're saying because that's what you really believe. And it just comes out of your heart that, "This is what I believe. I'm healed. The doctor says I'm dying. My body says I'm dying. My body says I hurt, but I don't care what I see or what I hear. I know what God's Word says, and I'm just resting in that. When you're in God's kind of faith, there's actually a peace that goes along with it that passes understanding. And I guarantee you, it's powerful. You know, there's another verse in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says that faith, the latter part of that verse says, faith works by love. And when you really understand how much God loves you, that He has borne your sicknesses and carried your disease, and when you fully understand that and understand the love that's behind it, then it just allows you to rest and trust in it. You know, I've had some things happen in my life that in the natural, it looks like it should have killed me. I had a thing on my ear for, I think it was 6 years that, man, it was bleeding. And I had a doctor on my board. I didn't go to a doctor, but I had a doctor say that that's a melanoma and stuff. And you know what? I just didn't worry about it. I just trusted in the Lord. And today it's totally gone and I'm totally healed and I didn't go to a doctor. I didn't have something cut off. It was just trusting in the Lord, and it took a little bit of time for me, but it worked. And I'm telling you, you've got to understand that faith is not something that you have to do to gain a response from God, but faith is simply your positive response to what God's already done. Man, that set me free, and it allowed me to just trust in Him. It gives you a stability, a peace in your life. Once again, let me encourage you that I've got this book, and this goes into a lot more detail on this, and this is entitled, God Wants You Well. And I'm going to offer this as a free gift to anybody who will call or write in. We've got a number on the screen, and you can call, or you also can go to CharisDailyGTN.com, and you can get information there, not only about this book, but also we've got other things. We've got a free healing guide and some other resources, and we would like to encourage you to please take advantage of it. And I promise you that God wants you well more than you want to be well. And it's just a matter of getting rid of your unbelief through studying the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. It'll push the unbelief out of you when you begin to see how God was merciful to other people and how He dealt with them in mercy and grace. And you can get to a place where you are just resting in the Lord. And if you'll do that, I guarantee you, you'll see your healing come to pass. So God loves you. We love you. Remember that we do this 7 days a week, our Charis Daily Bible Study. And we have a lot of different instructors from our Charis Bible College who are teaching. And we're going to share truths with you that I believe it's going to make it hard for you to stay sick. Amen. So join us again, and also please call the number on your screen or go to that website, CharisDailyGTN.com, and receive these free materials. And we want you to be well. God wants you to be well, and we want to agree with you and do whatever we can to help you to receive and manifest the healing that has already been provided by grace. And all you got to do is just believe and receive. And if you'll do that, it'll work for you. So God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow for another Charis Daily Bible Study.